But I can't write with the same. So I had to give it up. And I know it in my mind, and I'd talk to you on the day of the Lord, which will be, I think, very fitting in what you've already heard. Because I'm going to talk to you about a chapter in Daniel that you don't hear anything about. And inasmuch as we've heard so much about the going to pieces of everything today, which is true, I'm going to talk to you about the reverse out of the chapter 7 of Daniel. And inasmuch as everything is being wrecked today, it'll be interesting to see what we have in the 7th chapter of Daniel. Now, you may not agree with all I say, but I like it. It's stated, and I'm going to tell you about it. Now then, for you know yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Yes, unbeknownst to the people, they don't know anything about it. But we who have our eyes and our ears open are able to see and realize that our Lord has not only come, but He's been here for some time. The Prince of Peace. Yes, and nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. With the Prince of Peace present. Now we'll see how this works out. Yes, this of course means unknown to the great nominal system and only to the real Bible students. You know, let me tell you what happened to me on the train coming over here. I got into conversation with a man. I didn't know he was a minister, but I found out he was. And after I had much to say about what we know, you know what he said to me? Oh, you will have to be converted. Yes, I need to be converted. So, now then, I'm going to continue, and I think you'll agree with me that what we find in Daniel here is very interesting. The day of the Lord is a scriptural time named for the period of time in which the gospel age and the millennial age lapse. Now you see there's where the trouble is. I think with most of the truth people, they can't see this lapping, this interchanging of one into the other. That's where the trouble is. Yes? That's where we are today. The day of the Lord is a day of darkness. And there is no light in it. That's scripture, you see. That day is a day of trouble. And we've been told all about that, you see. We're in it. Yes, but there's going to be a change. Damn trouble. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Yes, because there's nothing but trouble. How do you think this is speaking? Now, who do you think is talking here in these scriptures? Does it sound like the Lord, the Prince of Peace? No. But who's talking? God the Father. Jehovah God. He's the one that's talking, telling us all these things. Yes. How strange indeed are the conditions in which the closing event of this present world is as indicated by the prophecies of the Bible, as you've heard explained by Brother here. Oh, very nice, sir. they clearly indicate that the great day of the Lord God Almighty is indicated by the day of the Lord. Now why? I will see. It is spoken of as the day of the Lord instead of the day of the Prince of Peace. It is described in the Bible as the day of vengeance. Oh my! Does that sound like the Prince of Peace talking? The day of vengeance, and as the last day of this order of things, won't be anything like it anymore. Because it is the time in which the Lord intervenes in the affairs of the world to halt the mad downward trend of the people into the destruction that they're going gradually into. Yes. Preparatory to the establishment of His long-promised kingdom, the Prince of Peace. Now, as we all know, the darkest time is just before the dawn. Now it's getting darker and darker all the while. And the darker it gets, the nearer we are to the Prince of Peace. So then, in due time, He will say, "Peace, be still." I like to think of the Sea of Galilee when our Lord was asleep in the boat. Great storm arose, and the disciples and them were fishermen. And they said, "Master, perish thou not that we perish?" "Peace, be still." Well, what do you know? He's even got control of him. Yes, what a surprise. Now that was only a picture of where we are today. And the restless, turbulent masses of humanity today are making endless demands. Everybody thinks peace and stability is their way. See? And what do we have? Nothing but confusion. And we're approaching anarchy more every day and getting darker and darker. Now, our Lord is here. And He is having something to do with it all. But what is He doing? Yes, indeed. The Bible teaches most implicitly that when Jehovah God, the Father, sets up His kingdom, now what kingdom is that? Well, that's the fifth universal kingdom that never ends. We're in that now. The fifth universal empire that will never end. Our Lord will be the active agent. Yes, verily the right-hand man in everything that Jehovah God the Father wants done. You see, Jehovah God the Father is the architect. But the Son, His right-hand man, is the active agent in doing everything that God the Father wants done. Now, you see, it's getting rid of the wreckage all around. Rubbish. You know, from the religious standpoint, I think you all are familiar with it. I like to quote it. Because all the nominal systems today, up to 1914 essentially, what did they have on their tables? Anybody know? Why, vomit. Oh, the vomit on all the tables of the nominal system up to 1914. Glory to God, folks. Away with it. Yes. It stinks. It sure does. Now, wonderfully we are blessed in seeing the great contrast for things as have been up to this time, and even that they're getting worse. And we also see the time when the thing will change and be a complete reversal. Yes. Well, verily, the right-hand man invested in all power in heaven and in earth. It don't make any difference what God the Father wants done. Our Lord does it. He is the active agent in everything. Then it says in this dark day is referred to as the closing scene. We're glad to ask. Closing scene of the night of weeping and the dawning of the morning of joy. Yes, we're in that contrast now. It's still getting darker, but in due time, the light will begin, and then we'll have real light. Yes. Let us note here that our attention is not merely to the scriptural evidence that there will be such a day or time, but especially to the event that will transpire during that day and their chronological order. And as we refer you now to Daniel 7, you see what I'm talking about. This trouble first comes upon the world, the nations of the earth, during the day of the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Well, what do you know? Yeah. This is the natural consequence of the Lord interfering with the world rulership of the devil. Now, you know, we have to use sanctified common sense sometimes. The record is in the Bible, when our Lord returns, he will bind Satan. Did he? That's what it says. No, he didn't. But what did he do? He began the binding of Satan. Now, you know, everything that God does, he said, don't you know my days are 1,000 years long? I've got plenty of time to do anything I want to do. Well, we think of everything 24 hour days. That's when we all had trouble in 1914, that's old time, about these things. But we went through it, yes. But, now here's the point. That the Jehovah God, when he does anything, he has a lot of time. Now then, you see, this trouble first comes upon the world, and then this is a natural consequence of the Lord interfering with satanic domination. Now, we know that the devil has been the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, and he has ruled by usurpation up to the present time. But what has taken place in our day? Why, the fifth universal empire has come into existence in 1914. You see, we had all these world dominions. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, all these world dominions. And now, when the Gentile lease expired in 1914, Jehovah God himself sets up his kingdom, the fifth universal empire that will never end. Now that's where we are today. Now let's see what's going to happen. This is the actual consequence, yes. And as the devil is losing his power over the peoples of earth, then they're making all these demands as we're having them, which is multitudinous. And all groups think that peace and happiness ought to be like they want it, like they think it ought to be. So it's getting more anarchistic all the time. Why? Satan is no longer dominating. Now, when he did dominate, he didn't care what kind of a government you had, whether it was a republic, a dictatorship, or what. But he more or less dominated over the situation. God permitted it. Then when our Lord returned in 1874, you see, first thing he just began to bind Satan. And now slowly but surely he's losing his power. But our Lord yet is not exercising his peaceful power.
But we'll get to that in due time and show you that he will do that. But now he's not doing it. He's only letting anarchistic conditions prevail more and more every day. Now then, Christ, who is the beginning of the millennial age, takes unto himself his great power and reign in 1914. You see, I remember very distinctly around about that time the nations of Earth were in a peaceful condition. We had a great peaceful meeting, you know, just before that. Well, the governments had their armament there and they said, look what they can do to one another, but we won't use it. No. No, we won't use it. But we can do our damage. All right, then in a little while they begin to ride better also. You know, I've been through all this, I can tell you. And he says, now, before this war ends, 1914, I look for trouble. And they couldn't wait till their official time in September. I think it happened in July, wasn't it? Or something like that. The Archduke was assassinated. That was the beginning of the end. And we've been on the way out ever since. World War I, World War II, now the stage is being set for World War III, and that'll be the finish. Then we'll have the new order. Yes. And now let us examine the vision of Daniel in 7, 9, verse 9, verse 13, verse 14, verse 18, and 22, and 27. We're going to look and see what Daniel. You remember Daniel was a very faithful Bible student in his day. And he was so faithful, he wanted to know a lot. And God says, well now, where's Daniel down there? He wants to know a lot. I'm going to send somebody to give him a lot of information. But it's only limited. Can't tell him everything. So after all this is told Daniel, then he was told, throw up the book until the time of the end, when everything would be made known. Now, we're in that time of the end, of course, so we're learning all these things. Well, now let's see what we have here in Daniel. Now, remember, Daniel was a very faithful Bible student. Yes. Now, let us see what that servant has to say about the matter. Our pastor. On reprint, page 3469, and paragraph 4. I like to quote Brother Russell because I agree with him so well, but I like to quote. Now that's what we have here. The time of trouble with which the millennium will be introduced will be the means by which the Lord will overthrow the powers of evil, as it is written. He shall cause wars to cease. He will in due time, yes. Unto the ends of the earth, under his righteous reign, which then will follow. Men will learn war no more, but will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Now that's going to be the outcome of his power, yes. But we're not poor for. Now let's see what they have. And now another quote. Yes, another quote. Paragraph 6. To them, the Lord's people, the Master is the Father's representative. And all in all, even now, before the time has come for him to take his great power and reign, even before, he has established truth and righteousness. All this is before that time, you see. In the world, by the eye of faith, they, the faithful, see him, recognize him, worship him, adore him, and follow him. Now that's our pastor talking, not me. And now another quote. paragraph 8, the time when the Lord shall manifest to the world his government, his authority, his rule, is represented in Daniel 12, 1 and 2. You heard about that, yes. The word stand up at the time shall Michael, another name for our glorious Lord, stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since it was a nation. What do you know about that? The Prince of Peace causing all of that. But he's only the agent of Jehovah. It's Jehovah that's doing the damage. But our Lord is a right-hand man. Yes. Now then, let's see what we have. Let us note our pastor's comment again. Revelation 19:14. Reprint, page 54-51. We know not why the prophecy speaks of armies. Yes. In the plural, we merely suggest. Now, this is our pastor's suggestion, and I agree with it, that the heavenly army may possibly be in two divisions. One on this side of the veil, and the other on the other side of the veil. And now, mind you, how else could he speak to the world? Well, he'd have to have somebody here to do it. Now, a part of this kingdom power and authority is not only the world with him, invisible, but we are having a responsibility. Those members of the body of Christ yet in the flesh are having the part of that other army. Now then, our pastor knew that, and he told us what we would do. And now don't we see the importance of this army, full of divine expression? Indeed, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him. And we all know what that says. Yes, and making an astounding statement, glory day of deliverance. And I think you're all aware that in many of the stations that we have Bible answers upon the day. Well, on free service, because they say, well, you people got a message. You got something real good and nobody else has. All right, you're on the voice of God in charge. That's right. Yes. Then you remember our pastor has a whole chapter on the work of this group, which he calls the Day of Elijah and John the Baptist. Now then, this work is going on every day. The work of John the Baptist, antithetical John the Baptist and Elijah. And to bring the hearts of the fathers and the sons together. See? Unity and oneness. But they don't make any success. Somebody tell me what's going to happen now. What's going to happen? Well, then you're bringing a curse upon the earth. Because the antithetical of John the Baptist and Elijah failed to bring about this oneness and this unity, which of course he knew wouldn't happen. But now he said, then I'll smite the earth with a curse. Now that smiting has begun, as our brother has told us very nicely. But now we're interested, and I'm going to talk about the reverse situation. We see then that the first act of our Lord is to gradually bind Satan, and mind you, this is a slow, gradual operation. And it will not be completed until the time of his mediatorial work. Now then, until he begins to mediate, there will be the disintegrating of everything all around. Until that time, then all of the members of the body of Christ, yet here in the flesh, will be changed and will all be with him. Then he will set up his mediatorial kingdom. Now you see, he's a lawyer and a fighter, and he's all body. Yes, general of Jehovah, lawyer and a fighter. That's not his word, it's the Father's word. But our Lord is the active agent, right-hand man in it all. Yes. And mind you, dear brethren, as this binding develops and Satan loses his power, over the nations of earth, the people will demand justice, liberty, and freedom. That's what they're all claiming now. Yeah. That's what they want. Yes. But it can't be done. No. Not by man. But there will, of course, result in the great diversity of action that we see developing into anarchy. Due to the multitudinous views of what liberty means. Everybody thinks it's their way. This will, of course, result in the diversity of operations as the scriptures inform us. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. Revelation 14 and 18. And now let us get the full import of Daniel 7. And who is the Lord here? Is it our Lord the Master? Or is it Jehovah the Father talking? You know, I have a Bible that the advanced reading, and throughout the Old Testament, the word of the Lord doesn't appear. It's Jehovah! Always talking. Yes. Now then, we'll see how we come out in this. I have in my library a copy of the American Revised Version of the Bible, stating in 1901, dated in 1901, where the revision committee restores the ancient Jewish text, where the word Jehovah is restored, and where this is done, all the time where we have the word Lord, it should be Jehovah. Therefore we see it is Jehovah God that is talking all the while, not our Lord. Well, now what a revelation. For all we need to do is to take the words of Daniel, the prophet, and he clears up the matter. Yes. He tells us that in Daniel 7:13. Now, if you got the Bible, turn to Daniel 7:13 and see what it says. But the ancient of days, Jehovah, appears. He has not been in the picture up to this time. It's been the world dominion, the four great world dominions. Now we're going to have the fifth. And that's him. The ancient of days appears. Where the Lord Jehovah is restored, and there this is done, all the time we have the word Lord. It should be Jehovah, yes. Now then, we're getting someplace. And when we have the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And who is the shepherd? Well, Jehovah is my shepherd. Our Lord, of course, is the under-shepherd, the good shepherd, but Jehovah God the Father. In the Old Testament, all through
It's Jehovah.
Now then, he tells us that in Daniel 7:13 that the Ancient of Days, Jehovah, God, of course, sits.
What's that mean?
Well, he comes out and takes his seat. When you go to court and the judge comes out and sets down, court's in order.
Yeah, now things are going to happen.
That's right. Things are going to happen. The Ancient of Days sits, takes over. That's when he begins his power and authority of the fifth universal empire. It won't ever end. Then let's see what happens. And of course, it takes charge of the world situation in 1914. When the Gentile lease expired, somebody has to take over. It wasn't time for our Lord to have his peace with everyone. So then Jehovah comes out, the Ancient of Days. Now let's see what we have here. One like the Son of Man. Daniel says, well, what do you know? One like just like the Son of Man comes up very close to the Ancient of Days. What for? Well, that closeness means that Jehovah God, now, the Ancient of Days, is going to tell this one looks like the Son of Man to do everything he wants done. Now you take over. Yes, I authorize you with all power in heaven and earth. Now it's up to you. Yes. Well, of course, before him. And there was given him what happened. Oh, my. Listen. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples and nations and languages should serve him, the Son of God, our Lord. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away or be destroyed. That's what happens when our Lord was brought up close to the Ancient of Days. Now, verse 9. His Jehovah's kingdom, the throne, was like what? Now, see what happened. Jehovah's throne, or the Ancient of Days' throne, when he takes over with our Lord at the right hand, it says, the fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Fiery stream. You've had that already explained. Here this evening, yes. That's what results when Ancient of Days took over. And again, his wheels. Now, what are wheels? Well, that's motion, action. Now, it says his wheels are activity as burning fire. Now, our Lord is doing all that, you see, as one that's close to the Ancient of Days. Mind you, this all happened in 1914. Everything like this began, and it's increasing. This power and authority, yes, and now here's something else. And now, mind you, dear brethren, this is not the best yet. Verse 18, quote, if you haven't got the Bible, I'll tell you. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. What? Yes, in 1914, when the Ancient of Days appears, fire begins, all its activity, the destruction, the people of the saints and the Most High shall take the kingdom and shall possess the kingdom forever, even forever and forever. Now, do you know, do you believe that all this happened in 1914? And now, notice again, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given unto the saints
of the Most High, what do you know?
Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High at this time.
And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
My Daniel, he was no fool. He knew what he was talking about. And that's what he said.
Now then, this is only in the primary stages. But don't forget now that Daniel tells us that the people of the saints of the Most High will begin to exercise power and authority in a smaller way right there. And now, my dear brethren, recall that our pastor realized all this.
Well, that's nothing new.
And he will call our attention to the 149th Psalm.
And he says, now I see all those things in the 149th Psalm. I used to think, when he said, let the saints rejoice in God, I thought that was something on the earth. Now I see. It's all here. Then what does he see?
Why, the saints are up on a bed. You know,
I got into the Carmelite bed before I rolled up the rope, and I was in misery all the time because I couldn't go. In the hell of fire and damnation, right here all the time, and when they baptized me and rolled off my sins away, I didn't believe a word of that either. So there I was. But now I was in that pig bed. But what did I do? Well, I wandered around, but I had my own ideas about things until on Thanksgiving Day, 1907, a Bible student in my locality, and I never knew there was such a thing in existence, as the Pastor Russell. Never heard of him. Didn't know there was anything like that in existence. But he left a tract in the yard of a man. The man that had the tract, his name was Davis, and he brought it in the yard of a man. And his name was Davis, and this Mr. Davis was the man that I relieved at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the telegraph office where I worked with him, and he wasn't heard down there. So he was told, but he wasn't interested. Now then, you know, it was hellfire and damnation that bothered me. I wasn't afraid of going there. But I said, the Bible tells you that's where you go if you ain't going up the bell. So what was the title of that? To hell and back! Don't come into the non-elect! Oh, boy, did I devour that tract? Well, that explained everything. Yeah. And then I was in Thanksgiving Day 1907. I want to show you what you can do. You do like I did. Then I began to devour the truth. I worked in an office all by myself, and I had everything my way. And in the 8 hours I worked, I knew I'd have 8 trains. The rest of the time was mine. And I just devoured the truth. And in just in a few months, I made up my mind, and I prostrated myself at the feet of the Master. So I take me as I am. Now, I got out of that bed, you see, that I've been in. Oh, my, what a large, roomy bed we're in now. And how the covering is for sufficient. And you can stretch out. Yes, all that. Now, Pastor Jim, now, don't you think that the 149th Psalm tells us, dead disease, sharp toward the man. Now, you don't use anything like that on the other side. Well, you see, I'm sorry that I didn't see this before. Yes. Now, praises of God in their voice. And what are they doing? Binding their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. This honor, farewell, his saints. The army on the other side is doing it gradually, and we're having a part in it on this side. We're telling the world what's going to happen tomorrow. And now nobody else can do that but us. And now then, when it closes, this honor has all his saints. On the other side, we're all having a part in this great change. And now you see, as I said before, I'll repeat it, how in the world did the world know what's coming if somebody didn't tell them? So it's absolutely necessary
that some are left here in the faith, well into this time of trouble for that very purpose of telling the world what's going to happen. Nobody else can. That's our responsibility.
Yes. So that's what we find in that 149th Psalm. My. And now, dear brethren, note the words of that servant in Volume 4, page 622. Quote. Now, this is not me talking, this is our pastor. However, instead of the kingdom waiting for the living members to finish their course, the kingdom work began to work. And the living ones, this Bible says, those are privileged to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Yes. They're privileged to know the mysteries of the kingdom and to engage in kingdom work before their king. My, how simple, how plain. So that's our privilege. And then, remember our pastor made that statement. He said, every item of truth is a link in the chain that will bind Satan. So, little by little, we're telling the world in these various links, the chain that regulates, enlightening them as to what's going on. And in due time, they will be able to see that they were properly enlightened, but didn't believe it at the time. Yes. Now then, we're doing all this work. All the things. And we sometimes, and we see some are rapture yet in the flesh to have an active part in this judgment. And how this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 52 and 7. Yes, indeed. And now, dear brethren, as I've already said, do you realize and do you get it? Now that again, Daniel's prophecy, verse 27. Now here it's still better. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Jehovah's right hand man. Yes, now you see all that's in the seventh chapter of Daniel, and it tells us that in the beginning, while this great wreckage is taking place, there is the primary work of the kingdom. And that is to enlighten the people before it actually happens what's going to happen. That's our privilege and our duty today. And that's the reason I'm way out here from home trying to do my part. Yes. Yes, that's it. And now, dear brethren, let us note that the word Lord mentioned so often in the Old Testament is Jehovah. While the one like the Son of Man, our Lord, of course, took full control of the Jehovah God's kingdom, the fifth universal empire, which will never end, and our Lord is the active agent. Now you remember what he says, he that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne when I settled up, even as I am now seated at my Father's right hand in his kingdom. That's where he is now. He's doing the work of Jehovah's Father once more, not his work. Now we'll see what he'll do when he sets up his kingdom. The Lord is the right hand man carrying on the entire work of Jehovah God, the Father. And we are informed in Revelation 3:21 that he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as you have already quoted. Now then, Now, which it will be the new Victorious Kingdom when he sets us on his right hand,
his right face hand.
Now take note of all the statements here where the Lord is angry and says he will destroy the nation. Who's talking?
Not our Lord.
No. This is Jehovah speaking. I'm not his son. I'm not our Lord. Such was in Zephaniah 3:8-9.
You remember how that reads?
Which he upon this day sword. And for a little while I rise up to the pole. For my descendants to gather nations. I, Lord.
But you always think that's not the way it should read.
Now in my Bible, that's Jehovah, which he upon me says Jehovah. For my determined is to gather nations, I Jehovah, and he pour out upon them my indignation, and my son will do a work. For all earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. He's the one that's angry with the nations. Our Lord has no such thoughts and drives to the people of earth, but he's acted during the Father's work in wrecking the order of things as is. Yes. Now then, this delegated all power in heaven and on earth as the Father's right-hand man. Sorry, I'm going to have to leave out something. And now, dear brethren, let us note the special that all through the Old Testament, the American Revised Version reads, Jehovah, where we have always had the word Lord. And let us note the good illustration of this fact in the prophet Zephaniah, which I quoted, yes. Well, I'm going to pass on. We see here now our Lord is serving as the general of Jehovah, the fighter, the warrior of the Father Jehovah during the full part of his 1,000-year reign.
Oh, my. Now, here we come to that. Now, I like our pastor's way he puts it. When he said, our Lord will rule 1,000 years. And that's all. But the first part of that 1,000-year reign is the great time of trouble.
Now, who knew when the trouble would end, would know
all about it. But we don't know. We'll just have to wait.
Well, I'll see how that ring off. And now let us note our pastor's words in this connection. Quote, King, the King himself is present, must be present before he could destroy present kingdom and take their power. He is already present, and I want you to get this language right here. He is already present. He is already exerting influence, which will eventuate in every person, and he is prepared, backed by all the power of God, quickly to establish upon their ruins his own glorious kingdom, which will be the new Victorious Kingdom. That's what they're all waiting for. That's what the world is doing. And now, another quote. We may not be able to judge accurately as to what features of the great work are now being carried on by the Lord and his glorified saints beyond the veil, but we may be sure that they are active participants in the work assigned to the members of the same kingdom task, whose course and service are not yet ended on this side of the world. Now, after a fashion, let me talk. And now, let us consider the chronology as it is evident that God's great divine plan of the redemption of mankind only requires 7,000 years. And that we are now 55 years from the beginning of this overthrow, and I wonder if we appreciate the vast importance of this time, 1914, where the Gentile times ended and God's kingdom, the fifth universal empire, took over and all that. What? Yes. The Revelator calls our attention to this in Revelation 14:14-20. Now quote, and I'll close. The angel thrust in his sickle, and the earth was reaped. What do you know? What's that mean?
Well, that means the nominal Christian has had his separation of wheat and the tares. Well, I'm through with it now. He can charge seeds. I don't care what you do with it.
Voice of the dying, voice of the dead, you not heard there anymore. And the people were all full of vomit. I would have nothing more to do with it. Then he says, there's another sickle. Then the other sickle, now wait a minute, I'm getting too fast on the sound of my time. Our great Heavenly Father planted the seed of the kingdom in the nominal system. And then that was making the root and the berries. Now that verse is completed. Now there's another verse. Let's see what that is. Now then, the earth was where God planted the seed of the kingdom. And then we are told in verse 18 that there is another angel, and he thrust in his sickle, and the vine of the earth was reaped. And we see that this was Satan's planting. Now you know, there's only one government on this earth that our Lord Jehovah established, that's the Jewish nation. All others come into existence to sustain it. Now you see that's what's being reaped now. And the sickle vine of the earth was reaped, and we see that this was Satan's planting. Indeed, a very bitter work. The wine press of the wrath of Jehovah God. That's where we are now. And then, don't forget now that the saints of the Most High are in a minor way, in a preparatory way, having a part in this great change. And then in due time, when our Lord sets up his mediatorial kingdom, we'll all be on the other side, if we're faithful, and then we'll have unlimited work. So I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brother Mary, for coming all the way from Columbus, Indiana to serve us. Truly we can say that it's been a very successful convention. You have made it so, and the brethren who have been in attendance at this convention. For a few minutes we shall sing the closing song, number 303. But before we do that, we want to again invite all of those who are able to do so to have fellowship together and a little temporary refreshment out at our home. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a time of relaxation and talking over these wonderful blessings during the past 3 days. And so we want to invite those who can to come out to our home. It will probably be perhaps 30 minutes or so before we get the books together and the other things that will have to be done. And so that will give you ample time to get your things together. And then if we don't happen to be there when you arrive, just wait for us. We'll get there as soon as possible. Now the directions are, go out Henderson, which is 199, the same direction that we were going for the baptism service, only you continue on Henderson until you come to Long Avenue. Turn right on Long Avenue. Go until you come to Northwest Lorraine, which is actually Northwest Lorraine on the street sign. Turn left, and we're at the end of the block. Those are very simple directions. Just follow Henderson, which becomes 199, Highway 199, until you come to Long Avenue. Turn right, go on Long Avenue.